Can you turn, please, in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1? I know you've been sitting for a good while, so maybe we'll stand for the reading of God's Word and for a prayer. It's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Let's just stand to our feet. And let's hear God's Word, verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the meeting tonight. We thank you for hearing the report, Lord, concerning your work in the land of Nepal. And bless thy servant and his wife, Lord, as they labour for thee these next weeks in the Isle of Man. We pray that indeed in that land there will be a visitation of God, the Holy Spirit, and her brother preaches the word of God, that he will have the joy of counselling many concerning God's salvation. That, Lord, thou wilt see him, that thou wilt bless in that place. We thank you for our sister who has come along to sing tonight. Bless her, Lord, we pray, in her own Christian life and her walk with God and her service for thee. And Lord, I pray now as we close the meeting and look at thy word, we pray for the help of thy blessed Holy Spirit. We acknowledge absolutely, Lord, before thee that we can do nothing. But Lord, we can simply faithfully declare thy word, but we believe, Lord, that thou art able to save because, gracious God, you saved us, and we do believe and know that thou can save others tonight. So bless us our time in the book. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, I know the time is going, but don't be getting too worried. We will have you out in good time. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A tremendous text of Scripture. I suppose one we would call a gospel text. And again, it is, I'm sure, well known, certainly to the Lord's people here. And I love the fact that in this scripture, and do notice it, don't miss it, do you see the word reason? Come now and let us reason together. Isn't it wonderful that God addresses our mind and our heart? Isn't it wonderful that the Lord condescends to the likes of us and says to us, even tonight in this gospel meeting in Newton Ards, come and let us reason together. Let us consider this tonight. And I wonder in the meeting, have you ever yet considered the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, truly and honestly, in your heart and mind? Come now, the Lord says. And God has a word for us. And if you turn back in this chapter to verse 2, it's a tremendous scripture here. The Lord has a word, and he's saying to you tonight, come now and let us reason together. But look what he says in the opening verses of this prophecy. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. I love that. It's as if the Lord says to the entire universe. We were thinking about that this morning. as if the Lord certainly addresses the entire world, the populations of the nations of the earth. As if the Lord is saying to the entire world, will you stop? Will you listen to me? Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. And why should the heavens and why should the earth stop and listen to this word? Well, because the verse goes on to say this, simply this, for the Lord has spoken. You know, last night I came across a prayer that the President of the United States broadcast publicly, addressed the United States in the early days of World War II. It was a tremendous prayer asking the people to look to the Lord and that the Lord would protect the American soldiers as they went out to face Nazi Germany. And he addressed the United States of America and the peoples of that nation. But you see, when the Lord speaks, every mouth should shut and every ear should listen. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. You know, there's much in this opening chapter of the book of Isaiah, a tremendous chapter of God's word. And time is going, but let me just pick out one or two things. And the Lord here is speaking through his servant. He says again in verse 2, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider a sinful nation. And as God brings this word to the nation, as God addresses the nation, and as God says in his invitation to come and reason together with him, and he declares that the whole earth and the heavens should listen to what he has said, the Lord is pointing out here. The reason he's come with this message, the reason he comes with this invitation to reason together with him is because of sin. Because of sin. And I'll just pick out one word. Do you see there in verse 2? Every phrase here is such a tremendous description of the depravity and the sinfulness of the human heart and the human life and the human race. But do you see in verse 2, the last phrase, they have rebelled against me. You see, the Lord is saying here concerning the people that they have rebelled. He nourished, he brought them up, but they have rebelled against him. You know something, can we just say this tonight? Maybe you're here tonight in the meeting and you have never been drunk in your life. I've never been drunk in my life. No desire to be drunk. Well, you'll be glad to hear that. Now that I'm saved, of course. Maybe you've never gambled. And we could list all these prominent public sins and evils. Maybe you've never gone down that road at all. But you know, the fact is, when we think of this God, and we were thinking of him this morning, from everlasting to everlasting, he is God, the eternal God. And he owns each one of us. We're his by creation. But we have rebelled. We have rebelled. We're born with rebellion, a rebellious nature in our hearts against the law of God. It's as natural for us to rebel against the law of God as it is to breathe the air. And if you're in the meeting tonight, and we're glad you're in the meeting tonight, and I think back of when I attended gospel meetings and God spoke to me, and so it's a wonderful thing that you've been in. You've heard about God, what God is doing in Nepal. Wonderful to think of that young girl getting wonderfully saved away over there. And you're in the meeting tonight. God has a word and a message for you, a word that should cause you to stop. Will you stop? Will you pause in life? Someone said to me at the door this morning going out, and it's true that the Lord doesn't, the devil doesn't want us to pause and think. You know, when I do my delivery there in Newton Ards, you'll understand this, when you're out for a few hours, you need a pit stop. And I always try when I leave the office, and I can make it to the leisure centre in William Street, and I can go in there and use the facilities. And even in there, they're blasting pop music at you. The devil doesn't want you to think. And we live in an entertainment-crazed culture. Because the devil doesn't want you to think. Doesn't want you to pause. Doesn't want you to consider. But the Lord has a word. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. The Lord has spoken, the heavens and the earth should listen. And you have rebelled, and I have rebelled against His holy law. This is the Lord's day. But all afternoon I heard a loudspeaker blaring from the airfield in Newton Ards. They were having some sort of air display or show down there. Rebelling against God. And you see, the point is, you don't have to drink, and you don't have to smoke, and you don't have to gamble to be a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, of course, not only is every man born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Not only is every man and woman born with this rebellious nature against the holy law of God and the ways of God and the will of God, but there is something about man, no matter where he is in the world, in his conscience, written in his heart. And we could go to Romans and show you that. There is this acknowledgement that there is God. In other words, what I'm saying is, in every culture and civilization, there is some form of religious worship or observance. Because, listen, even atheists are religious, you know. Atheism is a philosophy, it's a religion. In fact, I think it's been well said, you need more faith to be an atheist than you do to be a Christian. You see, look what the Lord says again in this passage of Scripture. Come down to verse 11. He says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Now bear in mind, of course, the Lord here speaking to Jews, speaking to Hebrews, speaking to those who would frequent the temple and come with their sacrifices. He says, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Bring, verse 13, no more vain oblations. Come down there to verse 15, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. See, here's a people, and the Bible says, and the Lord addresses them, and they have rebelled against him, and they're sinners. Oh, but they're religious. They say their prayers. They go to church. But you see, prayers and going to church, our own works, our own righteousnesses, are as filthy rags. Because we're sinners. Because we're so far from the Holy God. And the fact is, as the Lord speaks here in Isaiah chapter 1, and it's true throughout all the Bible, listen, religion cannot save. But look what the Lord says again, and we're conscious here of the time. Verse 16, the Lord comes now, and remember, he says, come now and let us reason together. He says in verse 16, wash you, make you clean. He says in verse 18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here is the Lord. Remember, he's addressing the word of the Lord because it's God's voice, because it's God's word. The whole universe should stop and listen. The Lord says you've rebelled. And the Lord says your good works mean nothing to me and cannot cover your sin. And then he says this, and what an invitation. He says, listen, though your sins be as scarlet, deep dyed, though they be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. What a contrast. This problem that these people have, their sin, their rebellion, their evil nature against the law of God, against the God who provides for them and cares for them. And yet the Lord says, ah, but I can do something for you. You know, it's not a wonder. That's the gospel tonight. God can do something for you. No matter who you are, no matter how far you are from the Lord, God can do something for you. God can do a great thing for you tonight. God can cleanse away your sin. But how does he do this? Does the Lord brush our sin under the carpet? Does the Lord simply forget about it? Well, of course, his holy nature cannot allow him to do that. The Lord is just and the Lord is holy. Turn over to Isaiah 53 and I'll show you how the Lord does this. A prophecy here of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this same prophecy of Isaiah, and for the sake of time again, look at verse 4. Here we have the Lord Jesus on the cross. How can our sins, which are scarlet, be white as snow? How can God do that? Well, verse 4 of Isaiah 53, speaking about the Lord Jesus. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's how it's done. Our sister was singing tonight about Calvary. Here we are 2,000 years later, still singing about Calvary, still preaching about the cross, because it is God's message. Never changes. Whether our brother's preaching it in Nepal, or Mr. Johnson preaching it at this moment in Singapore, or here in Newton Ards or wherever. There's one gospel from God for the whole human race. And because the Lord Jesus died on the cross and bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and God was able to judge our sins, for he must judge sin, but let us go free. God remains just, and yet in love and in mercy and in grace, he pardons all our sins and saves us. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Lord Jesus Christ and his cross. That's the answer. That's the message. And so we say to you tonight in the meeting, thank you for coming. Have you received the Lord Jesus? Do you believe that he died for you on Calvary's cross and bore your sins? The very sins that are mentioned in Isaiah 1. He bore those sins on the tree. Do you believe that? Have you received that, accepted? Are you resting in that for God's salvation? Will you come tonight? Will you come and be saved? Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. There is an opportunity, and we are able to say to you tonight that you can be saved tonight. You can be saved in your heart. There's nothing physical you have to do. You don't have to go on a pilgrimage. You don't have to put your hand up. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to say anything. In your heart, you come to God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Turn to the Lord and believe. Believe his word. Believe the record concerning his son Jesus and his work on the cross. And rest in it. And just reason like this. If God is satisfied with what Christ has done, and he is, then I should be satisfied. Just rest in the Lord Jesus for your salvation. And if we can help you, and the Reverend Graham is here, and if you want to speak, or some other Christian friend is here, we'd be only too glad to speak to you and help you if we can. We can certainly pray with you and read the scriptures with you. But don't go without the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the singing we've heard tonight. It's been a blessing. And the report we've heard, Lord, it's so encouraging. And Lord, we realize, Lord, that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. And we thank you for the preaching of your word. And we pray you'll bless, Lord. Bless our pastor over there in Singapore. Bless the work in Nepal. Bless our brother as he ministers in the Isle of Man. And bless us as we continue this witness in Newton Ards. Lord, bless Newton Ards. Bless this town. And save many precious souls. Take us now, Lord, to our homes in safety, with thy blessing resting upon us, until the Lord Jesus comes or calls. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.